The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So now that everybody's on here, we want to officially welcome our podcasters. We want to welcome our YouTube audience. We want to welcome our Facebook Live. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, we are going to be doing our second message on our series based out of Revelation chapter 13. And today we're going to be dealing with the false prophet and the coming one world religion. Again, we're going to be dealing with the false prophet and the coming one world religion. This is what we're going to be discussing today in our segment. So we got Revelation. Obviously, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 13. That's where we're going to start out, and we're going to pull up some stuff here that I want to show you. We've got some scripture to pull up here on the screen. You should be seeing this come up. There's a little bit of a delay that you're going to see come up here. Revelation chapter 13 is where I'm going to read this passage of scripture. Then we're going to go over some stuff here in this message. Revelation 13, then I saw another beast. And again, if you missed our first message, we did an entire in-depth study on the first beast rising up out of the sea, and that was the Antichrist. So if you didn't see that, you need to go back and watch that. So today, we're going to be dealing with the second beast or the other beast that comes up. Revelation 13, 11 through 18, then I saw another beast, John the Revelator speaking here, coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven. This is very important when we get into the latter part of this message. He causes great fire to come down upon the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell upon the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Now, obviously, there's a lot more to this scripture. There's a lot more to it than just that. But we want to stop there because if we go on, we get into the image of the beast and the mark of the beast. And we're going to break down and do a segment on the image of the beast. And we're going to do a segment on the mark of the beast. So we want to do two totally different messages. It's too much to put in one message here. So this first beast, your Bible says the first beast rises up out of the sea. But this second beast, interestingly, rises up, it says, from the earth. Now, when doing when you do the Greek word study on here, when you read commentaries in different sources, it implies here that this second beast will rise among civilization. He will rise up among those in the earth. Secondly, this is the only place in the entire New Testament that the imagery here, which is a lamb mentioned here, this is the only place in the entire New Testament that this lamb here does not represent Jesus Christ. So in other words, when you go through the entire New Testament and you read and you hear about the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, it is always in reference to who? Jesus Christ. But in this portion of scripture in Revelation chapter 13, it mentions that he's a lamb that has two horns. Again, this is the only place in the entire New Testament that this is not representing Jesus Christ, but is clearly an indication that whoever this man is and who it's going to be, it is a false Christ. It's a false lamb. It's a false image or a portrayal of Christ. It is clearly an indication that whoever this man is will be a false Messiah or Christ. Now, why did we say a false Messiah or Christ? Now, I want to say this, guys. You know, there's so much focus on the Antichrist of the Bible, but and how dangerous he will be, and he will be. I'm not undermining that. He will be a great military leader. He will be cunning. He will be crafty. He will end sacrifices on the Temple Mount. He will attempt to change times and law. We went over all that on our last segment, and he will be a dangerous character, and he will be a dangerous individual in the leading role of the end times. But a lot of people undermine or they overlook this guy, and he's the false prophet. And I'm going to tell you, according to the scripture, there's a lot that this man will be able to do, and he will be granted power to do in the time of the end. So he will be one who will appear as Jesus. He will appear as the Messiah, as Christ. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus warned over and over again in the New Testament. He said, if you go to Luke chapter 21, Mark 13, Matthew 24, when he's given a discourse on the signs of the coming of the Lord, what will be the signs of your coming? The very first thing he warned him about was deception. He said there would be false Christs, plural tense, and there would be false messiahs that would rise up and deceive many. Implying here that there would be, just like there was, and remember, we talked about this in our last segment, just as there's going to be the Antichrist that will come to power, there were many Antichrist, plural tense, before the man of sin, the man of perdition, or the Antichrist. And what that implies there, and what that means is simply is that those individuals that came, Nero, Antiochus Epiphany, I believe it's Adolf Hitler was empowered. I believe all these men had the spirit of Antichrist on them, but they were not the Antichrist. And what does that mean? In simple layman's terms, basically what I'm saying here is that Satan tried to prematurely bring prophecy to fulfillment. He tried to make something happen before its time. It was prematurely. He tried to empower a man to bring about what was written of him and through the scriptures, but it was not the time yet, and God Almighty did not permit it to come to pass. That's why it didn't happen with Nero. That's why it didn't be fulfilled with Antiochus Epiphanes. It wasn't fulfilled through Adolf Hitler or Stalin or Saddam Hussein or any other dictator or world leader that would try to rise up with the spirit of Antichrist. The same can be spoken of this false prophet mentioned in Revelation 13 that will come on the scene, come into empowerment. And by the way, the Bible makes it clear who empowers the false prophet. It's the same one who empowers the first beast, and it's the dragon. Let me read that, Revelation 13. And then he says that this beast had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. So his verbiage, his words will be of deceit. He will be a cunning liar and a deceiver. And again, he will be the representative, or he will speak from Satan himself, all right, which is the dragon. Now, here's some interesting, I got to finish with this. I almost lost my train of thought here. So this spirit that will embody the false prophet has already tried to empower many before this false prophet. These false messiahs and false Christs and these individuals that have risen up and tried to be these these leaders, these cult leaders. And even in the midst of some of these, we can, you know, we could go through and name Jim Jones, David Koresh, Roger Applewhite, and all these other ones that rose up, and they claim to be somebody, and they claim to have supernatural empowerment, and they were able to deceive many people. I mean, you look at the Jim Jones incident. Look how many people was deceived into drinking Kool-Aid laced with cyanide. Look how many people died in Waco, Texas with the David Koresh deception. And then the Roger Applewhite saying that Jesus Christ was coming out of heaven, and these people ended up killing themselves. They were deceived. Great deception. But this is child's play. This is a drop in the bucket. That was only a prelude to what is coming in Revelation 13. In Revelation 13, listen to this. It says that this false prophet will be given power to perform great signs, that he even will be able to make fire come down from heaven upon the earth in the sight of men. Now, where have we read that before? That's in your Bible in the Old Testament. Elijah the prophet was able to cast fire down from heaven. Remember that? And Elijah is going to be one of the two witnesses, Revelation 11, in the book of Revelation. So it's very possible that when this false prophet appears, if these individuals who are upon the earth at the time of this false prophet, when he comes into power, if they don't know this word, if they are not walking in the truth, have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, they could very well be deceived by this false prophet, who could even come out and say that he is either A, Elijah that is to come. Think about it. He's bringing fire down from heaven, just like Elijah the prophet did. By the way, again, one of the two witnesses will be Elijah, and he will be able to cast fire down from heaven. See, here's the key, guys. Or A, he will say he's Elijah the prophet, or B, he will say he is Jesus. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, that's ridiculous. There's no way that some dude's going to show up in the middle of the desert and cast fire down from heaven, be able to perform lying signs and wonders, and that all these Christians would be deceived. Really? Why do you think Jesus warned in the book of Luke, if they say unto you, lo, he is in the desert, do not go out there. Or lo, he's in the secret place or the chamber. He said, don't go in there looking for him. He says, for I tell you, the Son of Man will come like lightning, flashes from the east to the west. So shall the Son of Man come in the time of the end. And don't tell me people won't be deceived, because they will. The Bible says in verse 14 of Revelation 13, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image. And we'll, on our next segment, we're going to talk about the image of the beast. So this false prophet will be empowered by Satan. He will be able to perform lying signs and wonders. He will gather a massive following. I believe that he will gather a following like we have never seen before. Unprecedented historical following. And once he gets the multitudes deceived and to follow him by his lying signs and wonders and craftiness, remember, the deception all comes through Satan, who is the puppet master. Once this takes place, then your Bible says that the false prophet has many things that he'll begin to do. Let's talk about that for a second. Let me pull this screen up here real quick, because I want to show you this. Here's 10 facts about the false prophet that you need to know about. 10 facts about the false prophet. This is all found in Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. Number one, he is the second beast. Number two, he will have two horns like a lamb. And we're going to talk about that in a second, what that could mean and what it most probably was, the most likelihood of what it means. Number three, he speaks like a dragon. In other words, he'll be empowered by Satan to speak and give authority. The next part here you see on your screen, he causes the earth to worship the first beast. Once he gathers the attention of the deceived and those who will be deceived, he, watch this, he will lead them and point them into the direction of the first beast. That's the whole point of this guy coming on the power and power is he's going to be, he's going to co-labor with the first beast, and they're going to work in unison. Watch this. Again, he performs great signs and wonders. We went over that. He makes fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. We went over that. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs in which he was granted to do. We talked about that. He commands, listen to this, and we'll talk about this in our next segment. He commands, the false prophet does this, not the Antichrist. The false prophet commands an image to be made to the first beast. He will be granted power to breathe life into this image, and it will both live and speak. And again, more details will be given on that later. And then lastly, the false prophet, and I know we didn't read all this because I stopped, but we'll talk about this in our later segments. But the false prophet is the one who issues this mark of the beast system. And I emphasize the word system here because this is going to be, in my honest opinion, if you were to ask me what kind of system is this is going to be, I believe with all my heart, it is a religious system. The Antichrist will control a political military system, but the false prophet will control a religious system. And the two will work together to create some type of global tracking, identification, allegiance system. All right, now I want to go back up here and talk about the two horns. The Bible says in Revelation 13 that this lamb, who we've already determined now that this is a false Messiah or a false Christ, this false Messiah or this false prophet has two horns upon his head. When you see horns in the Bible, again, the law of first mention, scripture on scripture, line on line, precept on precept. The law of interpreting scripture is you take scriptures before, during, and after, and you compile an interpretation. You don't just pull scriptures out of context. So when we see horns in the Bible, you go back to the book of Daniel, you go to other portions of the book of Revelation, and you go into other books in the Old Testament, and horns represent authority. So many scholars, theologians, theological commentaries, I mean, I've got all kinds of them back here on this shelf. And all of them seem to come to an agreement here that these two horns here can represent that this man, whoever this man will be, will exercise authority over a political head and a religious head. All right, let me say that again. He'll wear two hats. He will, again, a political head and a religious head, or political authority and religious authority. Some have even noted that this man will demonstrate two major religions that will be apostate religions. In other words, he will take two major religions in the earth during this time of Revelation 13. It's not now. This is a future event. In the future, when this comes to pass, there will be two major religions in the earth. All right. Those two major religions, and I want to talk about that. Let me pull up this. I got a picture for this too, guys. These two major religions, I believe it's very possible that these two major religions is going to be an apostate form of Christianity. Many believe will be Roman Catholicism that will be apostate. What do I mean by that? Meaning that they will deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And we'll get into more about that in detail in just a second. And the other major religion very well could be Islam, because, and I'll explain that in just a second as well. Let me read my notes here. Many conclude that this false prophet will pull two major religions together as one and form an end time apostate Christianity that will come in agreement with at denying the deity of Jesus Christ and that he was the Son of God, that he was merely just another prophet. This in turn will lead multitudes into error and apostasy, again, ultimately pointing them to the first beast, which is the Antichrist. And by the way, the Antichrist, whatever this religion is in the end times, whatever this religion will be of the Antichrist and the false prophet, this will be the religion that you will have to pledge your allegiance to, this particular religion of these two main characters raising up in the end times. All right. Being that the main theme of the end times and the rise of the final beast and the kingdom is centered around the Middle East, it is pretty safe to say that, again, I believe from everything I've studied, that the two major religions that will likely be pulled together will be Islam and, again, an apostate form of Roman Catholicism. Christianity and Islam, and here's why I believe that. Number one is the location. Number two, Christianity and Islam are the world's two largest religions with this is a rough estimate, around 2.8 billion Christians and 1.6 billion Muslims worldwide. On the surface, the notion that the two faiths could be able to mesh or merge successfully seems to be impossible. After all, Christianity relies upon the central notion that Jesus is the only way one can attain eternal salvation. But to the contrary, Muslims do not believe that Jesus was the Son of God, nor do they accept the notion that he perished on a cross to save humanity's sins. Again, according to the Hadith, the Quran, the writings of Islam, they believe that that was not Jesus on the cross. They teach that it was Judas that was put on the cross to replace Jesus. I'm just telling you, all right? So now, many that teach eschatology in the Protestant and even Catholic faith, now let's talk about this, guys. I want to pull this up. So who could this false prophet be? I'm going to give you some commentaries of a lot of end time prophecy teachers and those who teach on eschatology. Many teach in eschatology that the Protestant and even Catholic faith believe that the false prophet of Revelation 13 will either be, now listen to this, guys, will either be an apostate pope, or he will be an invalidly elected pope in the last day. So either way, I mean, this is not just, guys, this is not just charismatics and Protestants and Christians and Baptists. They're not the only ones that believe this. I'm telling you, a lot of the Catholic faith even believe this. In fact, I'm going to show you a prophecy hundreds of years ago. All right. Now you say, how could this be? All right. Again, I told you a while ago that the one thing, whatever these two false religions will be, whatever these two false religions, that rise up in the end times are, the core theme of this religion, whatever religion this is going to be, it will deny the deity of Christ, deny that Jesus is the Son of God, and deny the very relationship between the Father and the Son. This is the only, I'm telling you guys, this will be the very core belief system of whatever this religion is of the false prophet and antichrist. Now, how can you make such a bold statement? Again, even the term antichrist that you see here was coined by the apostle John in 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3, and 2 John 7. And again, every one of these, in these scriptures, John tells you that who is a liar? He that denies that Jesus is the Christ and denies the Father is the Son and confesses that Jesus did not come in the flesh and that confesses that Jesus is not the Son of God, according to your Bible, in 1 John and 2 John, the one who speaks this, declares this, decrees this, believes this, is the Antichrist or is empowered by an Antichrist spirit. All right? So I want to read this here. Now, let's go back to, let's just say hypothetically that what many believe in the Protestant church, in the Catholic church, that this false prophet of Revelation 13 is a defective pope or he's the final pope. In the 12th century, in 1139, there was what was called the St. Malachy prophecies of the 111th Pope. Again, this was in 1139 or 12th century. It goes something like this. St. Malachy was the archbishop of Armagh, I don't know how you pronounce that. I probably slaughtered that. To whom several miracles were attributed to in the 12th century. Malachy went to Rome from Ireland to give an account of his affairs. And when he reportedly received a strange vision about the future. Again, he received a strange vision about the future in which, including the names of 112 future popes. His predictions are taken very seriously by many Protestants and Catholics. As for the prophecy concerning the 111th Pope, Pope Benedict the 16th, the prophecy says, because I highlighted these, but I'm going to go over. Let me read. I'm not going to read all these guys. There's 110 popes, and the pope that we have now is the 111th. So I pulled and compiled about six of these. I'm going to read these again. 1914 to 1922. St. Malachy said that whoever the pope would be that would come in power would be, and he gave these titles. There was these titles given to each one of these popes that would come into power. Again, there was 110 of them. Actually, there's 111. He wrote 111 of these popes. Again, this was written in 1139 in the 12th century. And he gave these titles to each one of these popes. So when we get down here to like the 100 and I want to say the sixth pope or something like that, he said that he would be known as the, quote, religion laid waste. This is what his, quote, alleged vision said. Well, interestingly enough, Benedict the 6th or 15th, 1914 to 1922, this pope rose to power and during the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, which came during the establishment and during the establishment of communism. So that historically, That fulfilled his title of religion laid waste. Then he said the next pope would be called the Intrepid Faith. Intrepid Faith. Pius the 11th, 1922 to 1939. History says that this pope stood up to fascism and communism. These forces lined up against him in the lead up to World War II. So he was tried by his faith. Again, fitting that role. Then he said the next pope would be known as the Angelic Shepherd. And interestingly enough, Pius the 12th rose to power in 1939 through 1958. Historically, this pope was very mystical and is believed to have received visions, and people would kneel when they received telephone calls from him. Encyclicals add enormously to the understanding of Catholic beliefs, even if they are now overlooked because of the focus on the Second Vatican Council, which occurred soon after his reign. So they looked up to him as a great shepherd, in so much as, again, people would kneel to him and claim to have visions when they encountered this man. Then this next pope, again, these are these popes, guys. These are the last probably about seven popes to get to the 111th. He would be known as the pastor, and his title would be Pastor and Marine. 1958 to 1963, John the 23rd would rise to power. Prior to his election, he was Patriarch of Venice, a Marine city. Are you listening? Home of the Gondolas. Interesting. Marine city, and Marine was in his title. The next one will be known as the Flower of Flowers. Consequently, Paul the sixth rose to power 1963 to 1978. And historically, he was known, his arms displayed three lilies, thus fulfilling this. Then the next one will be known as he would be called, quote, of the half of the moon, or half moon. And this is pretty eerie, guys. In 1978, John Paul I was born in Belluno, I believe that's how you pronounce that, under a beautiful moon. He was born during a beautiful moon, full moon. He was elected pope on August 26th. His reign lasted for a month, from half a moon to the next half. All right. Then the next pope, we've only got a couple more, guys. The next pope would be known as the eclipse of the sun, or from the labor of the sun. This was his title given by Saint Malachy in the 12th century. In 1978 to 2005, John Paul II rose to power. He was born May 18th, 1920, during a solar eclipse. Wow. He also comes from behind the former Iron Curtain, the east, where the sun rises. He might also be seen to be the fruit of the intercession of the woman clothed with the sun, laboring in Revelation 12. This was some commentaries from the Roman Catholic Church when this was written, because of his devotion to the Virgin Mary. And we don't have time to get into that, but we can talk about that later. His funeral occurred on the 8th of April, 2005, when there was a solar eclipse visible in America. All right, this is the 110th pope, guys. We're down to the 110. Here it is, ready? Malachy said that this would be known, he would be known as the Benedictine order. Traditionally, he would be the glory of the Olivet. All right. Historic. This would be Benedict the 16th. He came to power in 2005 to 2013. He would come out of the Benedictine order. Traditionally said the Pope would come from their order, since a branch of the Benedictine order is called the Olivetans. Saint Benedict is said to have prophesied that before the end of the world, a member of his order would be pope and would triumphantly lead the church in its fight against evil. While the Holy Father chose the name Benedict, this does not seem enough to fulfill the prophecy, nor is it clear how Benedict 16th of Bavaria is glory to the olive, since he is said to have remarked in the conclave after saying he would take the name Benedict that it was partly to honor Benedict the 16th, the Pope of Peace and Reconciliation. Perhaps Benedict 16 will be a peacemaker in the church or in the world and thus carry the olive branch. Well, if you remember, this Pope was very instrumental in having peace talks with Islam. He went to a mosque and he began to bring a emergence together of Islam and Roman Catholicism. Hello. So again, now here we go. Again, I got to read this. According to the prophecy of Malachi. Again, we can't be dogmatic about this, guys, but there is a lot of this that I'm just throwing out there. And we just kind of see how it goes and plays out. Nobody can be dogmatic about it. And especially when we talk about the image of the beast and we talk about the mark of the beast, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. There's a lot of would have, could have been, should have been. We're going to talk about history and this and all the way up to the future tense or the present tense of what this could be and how it could be leading to it. Nobody can be absolutely dogmatic about this. This is why even the Bible says we know in part and we see in part and we know in part and we prophesy in part. We see through a glass darkly. Many times we don't see the full picture until we get closer to the actual fulfillment of that event. And then we're like, oh my gosh, now it all makes sense. And we'll really talk about that when we get to the image of the beast and the mark of the beast. How when that was written thousands of years ago, it didn't even make sense. But now more than ever, to this generation, it makes sense. So you got to keep all that in mind in this perspective, okay? According to the prophecies of Malachi, this final pope, the 111th pope, this is what it reads, quote, I'm sorry, the 112th pope. There was 111, this is the 112. Sorry, I got my notes mixed up here. There'll be 112, this next pope that would rise up, the last pope, if you would. Here's what it says, quote, in the final persecution of the Holy Roman Church, there will reign Peter the Roman. So Malachi calls him Peter the Roman. And this is what he says about this final pope. This man will feed his flock amid many tribulations. That's a very interesting word there. After which the seven-hilled city will be destroyed. Now you can, again, that's in reference to Babylon, Revelation, Book of Revelation. The seven-hilled city will be destroyed and the dreadful judge will judge the people. That's obviously talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ, in which he will again judge the earth. Now, let's talk about, now I'm going to pull this up here again because I want to show you this. Could this man that you're looking at on the screen here, could this be the false prophet of Revelation 13? My answer could be, he very well could be. Am I going to say that it's not? No, I cannot say that. Now, there's a lot of people. Guys, if you'd ask me, is so-and-so the Antichrist? I can dogmatically say, no, he's not the Antichrist. Is such and such the Antichrist? No, he's not, based on the scripture. But when it comes to this guy, because there's so much of a shroud of mystery around the false prophet, it doesn't give you much detail about the false prophet as the Bible does about the Antichrist. So we can only pull from so many clues that we have. And so much evidence. And that's what we're doing today, is pulling these together. So I don't want to, the only thing, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I got to be honest with you. The only thing that troubles me is it seems like the Protestant church and the Catholic church has hinged the most prominent interpretation of who this false prophet is based on, again, a lot of this is based on the prophecy of Saint Malachi. So I'm not comfortable enough to completely hang my hat on what an archbishop said in 1139 in the 12th century. I'm just not. But I will say this. Again, if you did not have the prophecy of Malachi, if we didn't have that, based on the characteristics, the attributes, and the descriptions of whoever this false prophet is. Again, let's go over this real quick before we end this segment. He's going to be a man that will rise up among the people. He will form a one world religious system. I'm going to go ahead and say this too. He will be instrumental in presenting a one world tracking, buying, global system, whatever this system is. And I could really go into a dovetail on, or go off on a rabbit trail and get into the mark of the beast, but I can't. I can't do that. I have to restrain myself. But again, this false prophet is instrumental in this. We know that he's a lamb, which is a false Christ or a false Messiah, bearing a false religion. He has two horns, which we've learned now that that's represents a, he has power over two forms of authority, which again, I believe is political and religious. And it's very possible that he will merge two major religions together as one. And out of this hybrid concoction of religions, he will form this, whatever this religion is, it will deny the deity of Jesus Christ, deny that Jesus is the Son of God, deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And he will come into agreement with, and he will pull the people's attention to the first beast, which is the Antichrist, Revelation 13, the former part of that passage. We did that whole segment. You got to remember that. So Saint Malachi said that whoever this final pope would be, would this pope would rise up during a time of extreme persecution, and that this final pope would take the seat of the Holy Roman Church, and he will be, the title be, that he will be given will be Peter the Roman, who will feed his sheep through many tribulations, at the term of which the city of the seven hills will be destroyed. So in other words, if this is the final pope, guys, he's going to be around when we get into the tribulation and the destruction of Babylon, mystery Babylon. And I want to read this. What's interesting about this is that we are seeing some rhetoric come from this pope that's very troubling. In fact, today, I would pull up the article, but you can guys find this on endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. The Pope came out today and said, because of, now that we're talking about the current Pope today, this Pope, he came out and said, because of the coronavirus and the extremity of this virus, he is urging or suggesting that we need to form a global currency, not a currency, global. Let me pull this up, guys. I want to make sure that I'm telling you this right. So I'm going to just bear with me for a second, because I don't want to say something that's not true. So I want to pull this up. Just bear with me for just a second. We'll pull it up. I'll pull up my main website here and we're going to pull it. And we're going to give you, I'm going to read this article to you because I didn't have this in my notes. So Pope Francis came out today and said, here it is, quote, "This may be the time to consider a universal basic wage." Amid the COVID-19 pandemic, Pope Francis says it might be time for some sort of, quote, universal basic income. And he went on to say, according to a publication from the Vatican, that this may be the time to consider a universal basic wage. Again, what did I tell you? I said that whoever this false prophet, and I'm not saying that this is the false prophet. It could be. I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying that it could be. But whoever this false prophet is, when it's time for the fulfillment of it, the fullness of time, and he steps into play and he begins to make his appearance, whoever he is, he's going to form a one world religion, and he's going to be absolutely instrumental in creating a global buying and selling and trading system. Whatever that looks like, you're going to have to wait until our next segment. So again, guys, I hope you've enjoyed this segment. This is what we got on the false prophet and the rising one world religion. So I hope you've enjoyed this segment. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you're going to find us right there. If you go to the description of the Facebook Live, you're going to see the links there provided for you guys to follow us. Subscribe to our main website. Subscribe to our push notifications. Subscribe. You can download our app on Android and Apple. It's absolutely free. There's no excuse not to get this app, guys. It's free. And you can download it. You can have it on your tablet, on your phone. And you can be notified of our podcasts when our new podcasts are uploaded and come out. You'll be notified of that. Any kind of breaking news, you'll be notified of that. You'll be able to keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Also, guys, just letting you know, we're on YouTube, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. You guys that are watching by YouTube, we would encourage you to come over. If you're on Facebook, you can follow us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and all those other places as well. Listen, if this ministry is a continual source of blessing to you, it's a place of encouragement, information, revelation, transformation, and you'd like to sow into this ministry, maybe become a one-time partner or a one-time giver or a monthly partner, we want to encourage you to go to our main website. You guys listening by podcast, all that information will be at the end of this broadcast. You guys on YouTube, you're seeing information come up. They are our main website. All that is there for you guys that you can go. You guys on Facebook Live, again, click on there and you'll be able to find all that information as well. So again, guys, we're going to sign off for today. I hope you've enjoyed this. Please let me know. I always like to hear your feedback. I know people's going to have difference of opinions. Well, I believe the false prophet's this, or I believe he's that, or I believe these two religions. And that's fine. Everybody's going to have their opinions, but please keep it diplomatic and civil. That's all I ask. We're going to tonight's Tuesday. We will either be back on here tomorrow and take off Thursday, or we'll be off tomorrow and be back, or we will be off tomorrow and be on Thursday, either vice versa. We don't know yet. We'll play it by ear. We'll either do a podcast going over the news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, but we won't be doing this series again until next week. So next week, we'll start up again with the image of the beast, and we'll talk about the mark of the beast, because I've got a lot of pictures I want to pull in, a lot of information I want to pull up, and resources I want to get from. So I want to take my time and get this, and I believe you'll really enjoy this. So everybody, I want to encourage everybody again, if you've not yet kept up with our ministry, now's the time to do it. All those links are there. So we love you guys. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.